and thanks so much for coming back to Shudder Weekly, the week of July 22nd, 2019. Let's get into it. First up is DJI, and they came out with the Ronin SC, which is like their small and compact, which I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for. It's their three-axis single-handed gimbal, and it's basically the little brother to the Ronin S. It has a 2-kilogram payload. It has start-stop function control for Canon, Nikon, Sony, Panasonic, and Fujifilm. It also has focus control for Canon, Nikon, and Panasonic. The coolest thing about this thing is that it actually has full app integration, which means you can do like the smart tracking that you could do with DJI drones with this single hand three-axis gimbal that you would use for your Canon EOS R or your Panasonic GH5, which is pretty amazing that you can actually track a person through your camera's actual sensor and then have the gimbal do it for yourself. The other cool thing about the DJI Ronin SC is that it has built-in DJI force control, which is basically uses your cell phone's accelerometer so that it can mimic the movement of your phone as the gimbal. So you move your phone around and the gimbal moves around. So it mirrors the movement of your phone in the gimbal, which is absolutely incredible. There's a link for the demo of that down below. Go ahead and check it out. It really is amazing. Next up, we have Fuji, and they came out with a couple of new lenses. They came out with a 16-80 f/4 for their APS-C style cameras, which is basically the equivalent of a 24-120. So it's a 5x zoom. That's pretty cool, but I think the really cool thing is that they came out with a 50mm f3.5 for their GFX line of cameras, which is their medium format style cameras, and that is basically the equivalent of a 40mm full frame lens. I think that is going to be a really interesting lens paired with their new GFX 50C and 50R cameras. I think that's going to be a really friendly camera for a lot of street photographers. Next up is a company that we don't talk about too much, is Shutterstock. And they came out with a really, really cool service called Shutterstock Elements. And this is basically a stock footage website, but they're moving into assets that you can put in your video so you can get flares and grains and transitions and like explosions and environmentals like rain or snow or dust or things like that. You can also get digital elements like head-up display or user interface elements. So you can like superimpose that onto a screen or onto a dashboard, or like you can do that inside of the helmet Iron Man look thing. So Shutterstock is releasing those assets as stock images that you can use for your video. There's no like set pricing as for like a year or a membership thing, but you can start buying packages at $80 and they go all the way up to $200. I think this is going to be a really, really friendly thing for all you indie filmmakers out there. It's really going to help you step up your images so that you can create a really, really high quality image without having to break the bank on practicals or really, really robust set designs. Very clever from Shutterstock. Hasselblad came out with the 907X, I think it's like the Lunar Edition, or it's a special edition camera, basically celebrating their 50-year anniversary of first going to the moon in 69. Essentially, it's basically the 907X in all matte black, and then it says on the moon since 1969 or something like that. Special edition camera from Hasselblad. Really, really cool. Looking forward to seeing another Hasselblad on the moon in 2025. Red had a really interesting week. Red cameras. They dropped the price on their mini mags by about 20%. It seems to have been in response to a video released by GinnyTech YouTuber, who actually did a breakdown of their memory cards and found out that they actually use really inexpensive components. And so then Red dropped the price on their mini mags and then subsequently stated at a later date that they were planning on doing this anyway, which seems to be kind of a reactionary thing. I think they were trying to cover their own bases. That being said, Red is also hinting at a new camera. So they released an Instagram photo, which is linked below, of a very, very close-up like macro shot of the side of some Red camera with a red dot that's lit up and it says CFast next to it, which means Red is either working on a CFast version of their Minimag modules that you can use on their Red cameras, or which I think is the more likely version, they're getting ready to compete with the Pocket Cinema Camera 4K and the Sigma FP. 1080p, and I think that's the more likely version. So be on the lookout for new RED camera coming out that's really, really compact. I think it's going to fall somewhere between their Hydrogen phone, which was initially supposed to be a really modular phone that could transform into a RED camera, and their like RED Raven 4.5K camera that they don't make anymore. You can still buy it from Apple, but they don't actually make it because they make the Dragon now. But yeah, I think they're gonna come out with a CFast based camera that's definitely gonna be a response to the Pocket Cinema Camera 4K and the Sigma FP. Gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're gonna talk about the bell of the ball this week, which was the Sony A7R Mark IV. Okay, so we're back, and we are officially talking about the Sony A7R Mark IV, which is obviously the only thing that we can talk about this week because it absolutely dominated the camera announcement news for a couple of different reasons, and I'll get into those now. First of all, a little bit of highlights. So they have all of the things that you would expect from Sony these days, which is like amazing eye detection and face detection. You can even do eye detection on pets. I saw it work on a snake. That was pretty cool. It has a 61 megapixel full frame sensor, so that's a little bit bigger than the last iteration, which is the A7R Mark III, which I currently own, and it's squarely into medium format resolution now, but in a full frame camera. So just a little side note, I think that it's going to compete with our medium format friends at Fuji and Pentax and Hasselblad. But it remains to be seen as to whether or not we're going to see similar results in terms of bit rate, because Hasselblad is still working with 16-bit color space, which doesn't even, you know, Sony doesn't even come close to touching that. Another really cool thing that Sony is doing with their camera, with the A7R IV, is wireless tethering, which means you can set up the camera to be tethered to a computer without actually using a cable, which for many people that I know that do a lot of high-end studio work, that is going to be a game changer because it's going to give them ultimate flexibility and cut down on probably a significant amount of time that it takes for them to set up and break down their gear, which ultimately is going to save them money and give an overall better experience on set because there's less infrastructure to put in place to make that work. I think that is one of the features that shouldn't go overlooked, and I do think that it's a very, very underrated feature in this camera. Also, the camera has a much more ergonomic design. Well, I shouldn't say much more ergonomic design. It has a bigger grip that has a deeper setting for your trigger finger. It also has some more robust buttons, and it has a little D-pad on it that makes navigating on the menus a lot easier. Also, it has eye autofocus in video now, which it didn't have before, which I think is one of the first, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But it also has dual UHS-II card slots, which it didn't have before. It had one UHS-II and one UHS-I, which was great for me because I could record the high-quality stuff to UHS-II and then make proxy files and record that to UHS-I. Now I have dual UHS-II, so you can actually make a full-on copy to your footage or to your photos as you're shooting them without any sort of difference in the rates that the images get stored. So you're not going to have to wait for those files to buffer or wait for the camera to buffer while it's reading and writing all of those big old files. That's really cool. So other than that, there's a lot of similar features, basically broadly unchanged in terms of video. It does say that it has 15 stops. I don't believe that. I don't think it has a 15 plus stops of range. I don't think any DSLR right now has 15 plus stops of range, and I don't think that Sony is making a valid claim with that. I think those conditions in which they reached 15 plus stops were far too ideal and do not reflect real world iterations of what those image sensors that they're putting in those cameras can do. But here's what is really interesting to me about the Sony A7R IV, which is that this is effectively squarely solidifying this camera as a photographer's camera. This is not a filmmaker's camera. At least I don't think that that's the case. Because it was disappointing as a video camera. There weren't enough significant updates in the video department of what this camera is capable of to warrant any sort of videographer that was on the fence about buying a Sony high resolution sensor camera This is not going to be the camera for any person that prioritizes video. It's just not. It just doesn't have enough of a significant jump in features. I do think that what they're doing is very interesting, because I think this is going to be a significant demarcation between their prosumer photography friendly cameras and their professional video centric cameras, more so than what they did with the A7 III and the A7 R3 and even the A7 R2 and the A7 S2, which I can't believe that camera is like 4 or 5 years old now. The camera came out in like 2015. But I think this is going to be the start of Sony trying to make a bigger delta between their photo and their video department. I think they're trying to drive a wedge in the hybrid shooting game. I don't think they'll ever make a camera that's exclusively video or exclusively photo in the alpha range. I think there's always going to be a degree of hybridability between these alpha cameras. But I think that they're going to start widening that gap between video-centric and photo-centric cameras. And I think the A7 R4 is the start of that, because it is so squarely aimed at improving the photo aspect of what this camera can do rather than the video. They held off on video, and I think they did that for a very good reason, because we're going to see some stuff in the future. On that note, Sony officials have announced that they will be making another announcement in August regarding some new piece of hardware. I have no details outside of the fact that they have an announcement coming in August. So it remains to be seen what that announcement will actually be. It might be accessories for the A7 IV. It might be anything. It could be anything. They might be announcing the A7 S3. Who knows? Or maybe some sort of A7 IV, which is going to be our video-friendly alpha camera. Maybe it's a video-only camera. I don't know. Maybe they are differentiating from the whole hybridability of their alpha line. Maybe they're going to throw some sort of new and wacky thing into the lineup. But a Sony official did confirm that they are officially working on delivering 4K 60p and 10-bit 422 in the alpha camera lineup. This was coming from a Sony official to SonyAlphaRumors.com, and I have a link to a YouTube video of that interview showing them actually confirming that this is something that they are working on, that they would like to see happen with the Sony Alpha lineup. So go ahead and check that link down below. I do think that in the next year, either late 2019 or early 2020, up into spring of 2020, we're going to start seeing some really, really powerful cameras coming out of the Sony Alpha range. I don't think we're going to see a lot of improvements in the kind of like high-end prosumer stuff, like our FS line of cameras, or I don't know, we might even see a new F55, F5 successor, or an F65 successor, something like that. But those are so far outside of the world of alpha cameras. I'm really excited about what's going to happen next. I am really disappointed in the A7 R4 and its video functions. I think for photographers, it's going to be incredible. I mean, you can shoot 61 megapixel uncompressed raw images at 68 frames in a row with 10 frame per second burst rate. So it really is incredible. And again, like, don't sleep on that whole wireless tethering thing if you are a studio shooter. So I think you're going to have a good time with this camera if you're a photographer. If you're a videographer, I would just hold off a little bit longer until maybe the end of summer and see what Sony has in store for you. That's going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please go ahead and share this with your friends. We're available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, on Google Podcasts. We're on the Play Store. We are pretty much everywhere that you would listen to a podcast. And if you want to support us, check out the links below. There are ways to support this podcast in any way that you feel fit. Now check out our sponsor below, and check out the links below for all the articles that we covered in this podcast. And I will see you next week. Peace.